better place to be than with God-fearing people on this cold, wintry day and in our warm shelters that the good Lord has provided for us. Good to be together. And I want to thank Marty for his beautiful, thoughtful prayers, very heartfelt prayers, Marty, and especially a beautiful prayer for my beautiful wife. And certainly for everyone, your heart is open to God, and we certainly can feel God's presence with us here, and it's a beautiful thing. A song, Rock of Ages. I hope we all listened to those words. They were fantastic. And I hadn't heard that song for quite some time, but simple, basic, you know, truth. And that's a beautiful thing. So we are a praying church, and that's a beautiful thing that we love to pray. We pray for each other. And there's nothing more powerful than prayer. When our oldest son, John, graduated from high school, we wanted to give him a gift. Now, he had been helping us in the bakery for several years. I used to take him to work with me, you know, during the summertime. He didn't go to work with me when he was in school, but during the summer he would, and I wound up teaching him a trade that he took with him to Colorado and opened his own business eventually. And but he was a big help to Betty and I in our business. And we wanted something nice for him. We wanted something special to give him on his graduation day, graduating from high school. And he had even at that time, a penchant for watches. And he still does today. He loves watches. I don't know how many watches he has, but he loves watches. So we decided to buy him a Rolex. We bought him a Rolex for his graduation gift. Now let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. And we're going to go through a few scriptures today, not a lot, but a few. I'd like us to share in reading the words of our Savior and the faithful that came before us, that trusted God, and then recorded those words for us so that we could read them and be inspired and encouraged by them. Matthew 7, this is Jesus speaking, beginning in verse 7. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, the door will be open." Before we go on, I want us to notice something here. I don't know, a couple of sermons ago, I gave a sermon regarding how faith is not static. Faith has to be dynamic. It has to be moving. Faith must move us to do things. And this is what Jesus is telling us here. What does he say? He says, ask. You have to ask. You've got to participate with God. He said, ask and it will be given to you. He said, seek. You've got to seek it. Seek and you will find. Knock on the door and it will be opened. You got to knock first. You have to participate in your relationship with God. For everyone who asks for everyone who asks receives. You have to ask. For he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. It's all things we have to do. The other things God takes care of, but we have to participate with him by asking, by seeking, and by knocking. Verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, This is what Jesus is telling those around him that he's speaking to. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. You know, he's telling us that even though you are evil, you are sinners, yet you know how to give good gifts. He doesn't want us to be like the story about the guy who was telling his friend that he had bought his wife a string of pearls for her birthday. And the friend said, well, I thought she wanted a car. Well, he said, yeah, but where could I find a artificial car? In other words, the pearls weren't real. And he couldn't find a artificial car to give. But anyhow, the point I wanted to make here is that even though we can give good gifts, and we can, we do give good gifts, but how much more does God, if we are able to give good gifts, how much more is he able to do that? You know, you think about the many gifts that God gives us. And the other day, Betty and I were driving home from Farmington, and it was around 5 o'clock, and the wind was blowing. And if you've been out in Farmington, there's a lot of farm fields out there, and the wind was blowing across the fields and blowing dusty snow up into the air. The sun was low on the horizon, getting ready to set. And lo and behold, as we looked out west, we saw these beautiful pillars of rainbow. I guess they call them sun doggies.
Sun dogs.
Sun dogs. Yeah, it wasn't an actual rainbow that would, you had a crescent on it, but it was like a pillar. And I couldn't help but think about when Israel left Egypt and God went before them as a pillar of fire. And we were looking at this beautiful pillar that looked just like a rainbow without the crescent. And then as we looked further to the south, we saw another pillar, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And again, it's just one of those gifts, the many gifts that God gives us. Oftentimes, the gifts that he gives to us, we don't recognize because we don't see them. We aren't open to see all the beautiful, wonderful things that God does give us. Now, let's turn to Psalm 139. Now, I knew my son, and I knew what he would like. He had never asked me for a Rolex, but I knew that he would like it because I knew what my son thought. I knew my boy. David tells us how much God knows us. And of course, David was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You know my thoughts even before I think them. Because you know me. You know what's in my heart. You know the things that matter to me, the things I care about. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. David knew God knew him because David opened himself to the Father. He knew there's nothing we can hide from God. So he gave his all to the Father. He shared everything with him. And that's what God wants us to do, is to realize that God knows us. We can't hide anything from him. He knows us. He knows all about us. And he wants us to realize how much he cares for us, that we will share everything with him, our thoughts, our dreams, our fears, all of these things. Just be very open, just like with our son. You know, I knew full well what he was thinking, what his heart was. And I wanted to give him a good gift. Well, God tells us that if you can give good gifts, you know, what do you think I can do for you? Let's turn over to Psalm 37. This is one of my favorite go-to psalms. When we think about the things that are going on in the world, the things that can discourage us, I love to go to this psalm and see what David has to say about dealing with the things that can be so upsetting. The other day, Betty and I were sitting out on the porch and talking about some of the things going on in our community, in our country, and we're getting, you know, rather discouraged. And I said, you know, let's turn to Psalm 37. And it'll help us, I think, have a better perspective on dealing with the issues of life that can be discerning. Psalm 37, verse 1, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Yes, God is not there just to help us when we are struggling, when we are hurting. He wants, you know, Jesus told us in the book of John that he came that we might have life and have it to the full. David understood that. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The things maybe you just desire. But because he is our Father and loves us and cares for us, and as he knows us, he will do things for you that you don't even ask for. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. David understood who was in charge. Even though everything around us seems out of control at some times, he understood to delight in the Lord, because the Lord is in charge. He is in charge. In Psalm 103, another one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the name, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not the benefits of knowing God. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. And let's see, 17, yeah. The blessings of God are not just for us and for our time. But in verse 17 of the same chapter, he says, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children." Yes, our faithfulness to God, our trusting in God, our living, you know, our life in service to God extends to our children's children. It's not just for us. What we live, what we believe, what we exercise, what we demonstrate is reflected to our children. And as they reflect what we've taught them, what they believe in, it is reflected to their children generation to generation. Molly read the scripture today from, I think, probably the New King James. I want to read that scripture, Luke 12, verse 22, from the Message Bible. Eugene Peterson wrote this, and I really think it's great. This is Luke 12, verse 22, verse 32. "Now he continued the subject with his disciples. Don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or if the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your inner life than the food you put in your stomach. More to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the ravens, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description. Carefree in the care of God, and you count far more. Has anyone, by fussing before the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? If fussing can't even do that, why fuss at all? Walk into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They don't fuss with their appearance, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the wildflowers, most of them never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom himself." Yes, God wants to lavish us with his blessings. He wants us to know him and to love him and to trust him and to believe in him and understand what a friend he is to us. I thought the cartoon today was really neat, if you get a chance to look at it, because it certainly is applicable to this message. God is our friend. I'm going to ask Ray if you'll play that song I asked you to play.
What a friend we have in Jesus. all our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Yes, indeed. Take it all to the Lord in prayer. Don't hold back. God knows us. He knows our ins and our outs, and he wants us to be truly open and free with him and to trust him to do what he says he will do. Don't hold back. In closing, I want to read from Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.